Let's get right to the people, because a lot of them are holding. Ravens lose to the Steelers. Their season is over. What comes next? We're going to get to that in a little bit. But 410-583-1057. Let's start with Ron in Owings Mills. Ron, you're on the Fan.
Dr. Weinman, Dr. Lockenfora, Dr. Barbalace, how are you?
Good.
Been good, Ron.
Could be better. Could be worse. Could be better.
So here's my thing. I'll be brief here. I hated kneeing, taking two-yard loss.
Yep.
You have a rookie kicker. You have to make it as easy as possible. Yes, he should make a 44-yarder. I refer you to when Matt Stover was 40 years old and he couldn't kick far in the Titans divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
They were aggressive on 3rd and 9 to Clayton to get that thing to a 43-yard field goal. When Tustin Tucker was a rookie at Denver, they ran it 3 straight times with Ray Rice to get that thing to a 47. I get it. You got to make it for 44, okay? But I did not like on 1st and 10 – you could get another 5 yards. And I know John Harbaugh is listening, and you're saying, "What, Ron, if Derrick Henry fumbles, you would have criticized me." And what I would say to that, John, is you're absolutely right because it's part of my shtick. But in reality, you have to be aggressive. I'm being honest, John. Yes, I would have criticized you because of all the years. But you can't play it safe. You can't be content with the rookie kicker.
No.
Last thing, Angels in the Outfield movie. George Knox goes to Mel Clark and tells him there's an angel there. There wasn't an angel, Ken. He was just making it up. It was just a signal. But he gave confidence to Mel Clark. I'm telling you, if you run it with Derrick Henry for 5 more yards, I'm telling you, he would have had the confidence to not shank it. I really believe that. But who knows? You guys have a good one.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
No, I mean, look, Tony if we're Danza scared reference. Of Derrick Henry fumbling, yeah. I know it's happened this year, then Derrick Henry is now a fumbler, yeah. And that's fine. You went down with Derrick Henry. I thought he should have run earlier in the sequence. I'm sitting there with my kids, and Mitchell makes that return to damn near midfield, and it's 53 seconds and 3 timeouts, and I see Derrick Henry in a 2-minute drill that he's never in. I'm like, they're going to call at least 1 draw for Derrick Henry, and it might be a house call.
Yeah.
Like, this guy might have a house call in him. Remember, he's barely touched the ball in the second half.
Yeah.
They got the
bookers.
And remember, there's like an hour. You got a little bit longer half times because they got to give out where everybody's playing and all that crap. You had the drive at the end of the half, then the halftime. Then Pittsburgh has the long drive to start the second half. The guy is revving to go.
Yeah.
I mean, 1 toss he might take to the house or slide it to 2 or whatever and kick it then. The other team's out of timeouts.
Yeah.
You've got full ability to dictate. I'm shocked they never put it in his gut.
I am too, and I get that there were a lot of quick strikes for the Ravens when they scored with both the Zay Flowers touchdowns, but given the circumstances where you had the ball in midfield, you had 3 timeouts.
Yes. You have your whole offense at your disposal.
Yeah, I definitely could have given him at least 1 carry.
410-583-1057, Bob's in Glen Burnie. Bob, you're on the Fan.
There has to be a definite shakeup next year.
You mean now?
I don't, the general manager, and also the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Well, if the coach goes, this staff is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see somebody new coming in who maybe wants to keep Pagano in some role. If Chuck even wants to do that anymore, but this has been such a disaster. I don't know. We'll get into it more later. But this owner has always tied the GM and the coach together. It's separation of church and state. It's the old school. One guy controls the roster. One guy manages the game. And whenever one gets an extension, he ties the other because they've got to work together and they're tied together. They've both been deficient at their jobs. For me, again, I'm not empowering this GM. Oh, you survive and you get to help me pick the next guy. If they're tied together and they've always been tied together and they're both very responsible for your losing football culture, they're both gone.
410-583-1057. Let's go to Rob. Rob, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. There's always one thing that we know. Debt, taxes, and the Ravens blowing, choking games away.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to happen. And, Ken, you're right. That place is a house of horrors for the Ravens, that stadium, for some reason. Are we all shocked that the deflection landed in Watt's hands? I mean, are we all shocked about that?
He shows up in every game.
It's not just Pitt. It's the team.
Yeah.
The Steelers are 10-3. It happens in Baltimore.
The weird stuff happens more there than here.
Yeah, but you still lose.
And the other thing, too, is, Eric DeCostas, he always talks about, I'm going to do a value. It's a good value pick. I don't want a value pick. I want to move up. I want studs, man.
Yeah.
I'm t- I'm tired of guys who end up on the practice squad or do what. Go get somebody who's a playmaker, not a corner or a safety. God, you need edge rushers. You need offensive line. When you work that contract out with Lamar, spend some money on free agency. Get some guys in here. It's the same old, same old.
How about you get some analytics kids who might be better than the ones you have now? We're always firing coordinators, but no one talks about the quants and all. Oh, this guy's so smart. This guy, oh, he got him from MIT. Oh, yeah. We stole him from Stanford. What the hell are they doing?
I don't know. I want a shirt that says, I want studs, not mooks. No more mooks.
No one wants mooks.
No. We got mooks right now.
Oh, we've signed more free agents between $2 million and $3 million than anybody. Remember that one?
Yeah.
We've had more comp picks. How about players? How about winning football players? How about paying the tight end who made the play to save your season, not the one who failed to show up for a playoff game again, who you gave him money you know he don't really deserve at a time when you can't be giving it to him with all your other holes in the roster. Just to rub it in Likely's face, I would have loved to have seen the camera. The shot of Likely, you see the back of his head looking at Harbs after he makes that play. I'd like to see the reverse angle. I wonder what was going through his mind.
Let's grab James in Baltimore. James, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
You know, a couple of things. First off, it is only a good thing that we lost that game because I can't imagine having to go watch another Texans game. You know, I was there on the regular season and watching that team just get embarrassed on both sides of the ball consistently, getting that done on Monday Night Football. I don't know if I could handle it. But I just am praying that I can stop hearing after this whole catastrophe of a season from anyone outside of Baltimore of how smart this organization is.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. From the continuing destruction of both lines, not drafting what you need, wasting a multi-generational quarterback, and yet people look you dead in the face and say, wow, you're so lucky as a Raven.
Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate the call. I don't think you can be status quo after what we saw this season and last night culminated. It was a microcosm of the entire season. You want to ride with the calls?
Sure.
410-583-1057. We'll take more of your calls next here on the Fan. More of your phone calls, 410-583-1057. Ravens, they another premature end to their season. How do the people feel? Let's go back out to the phone lines and talk to Jamal. Jamal, you're on the Fan.
Well, first, Jason, everything you say is right. The sad thing about it, I feel like nothing's going to change. We got the 14th pick. We probably going
to
trade back, get another cornerback, find some more cornerbacks.
They're just taunting us.
Hey, Jair will probably come even cheaper this time around. You ran it back with Watkins. Maybe run it back with him.
Vet minimum.
Yeah. Van Noy will come even cheaper.
And probably get an offensive line who's got injured right before the draft.
Yeah, he'll be good for 28.
Yeah.
Comp picks.
Appreciate the call.
I'm not right about everything, but I can see through some of these bozos.
Yeah.
They keep doing the same stuff. They keep selling you guys the same BS, thinking you'll fall for it.
So you took credit for it, that you've shamed the Orioles into changing their spots.
I mean, I'm part of that. I mean, if there was... Do you think they did it of their own volition?
No, I think that
they got shamed into doing it.
Yes.
By the results that I told you would come if you didn't change sooner.
Do you think that what has happened this season will make them reevaluate the way they do things?
They definitely listen. They listen. They transcribe. They hang on every word. That's a fact. Will it change anything? I don't know. The guy who runs the team is a recluse. Unless you're in the richest half of a percent of the world, you don't see him. You don't hear from him. He lives on a boat.
I know we're getting into it tomorrow, but if you're Steve Bisciotti, you have to talk. Whether you keep John Harbaugh, you need to talk, or you get rid of the only coach that you hired, you have to talk. And I know he didn't when Dick Cass ended up stepping out.
Really,
but this is like...
What's he
going to
say?
Steve,
you're aware the guy you're hiring went 0-16 as a general manager in this league before he found himself with the Washington Mystics. You're aware of the career arc, are you not?
This is the
business
most
side isn't football side.
Yeah, but I could hire him in 5 minutes and Dick vouch for him, so I didn't have to leave my boat to do it.
This is, I don't even know if it's arguably, the most disastrous season in franchise history, considering the expectations heading into the year. To go to not even miss the you had a losing record.
Yeah, you were
six times at home, and your coach leading into the last collapse was telling you it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter where we play, and who cares about losing in primetime at home to a kid on the other sideline who's 22 years old and has never played on the road in primetime before. It's just another game.
They were the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl before the season started. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on the fan. Mike? No, Mike.
Mike.
How about Zeke in Arbutus? Zeke, you're on the fan.
Hey, I want to make two quick comments and then kind of hear what you guys respond with. I feel like everybody's giving Lamar a free pass. Five completed passes against a super run-heavy defense with all their fat butts on the field, and you complete five passes.
Did you watch the fourth quarter, Zeke?
I did, and you know what that looked like?
That looked like a guy that put a team on his back to give him a chance to win a game.
It's never happened before in the history of the league, a fourth quarter with a quarterback and a wide receiver connecting on two 50-yard-plus touchdown passes in a fourth quarter in the history of this league.
Does it look like any football that you've ever seen? It to me looks like broken play bullcrap.
You don't like the aesthetics.
Yeah, so it didn't look like Joe Montana. What do you think of the defense? What did the defense look like to you, Zeke?
That's a different story. I'm not talking about that.
I am curious how you felt about the defense. Because it's obvious we will agree to disagree on
Lamar. He had three passing touchdowns of 38 yards or more on the road with the season on the line.
He was not good from the end of the first quarter to probably the fourth quarter. He was exceptional in the fourth quarter.
It's too much broken play.
Who cares how it looks if it works? It works.
It's a broken play because the guy calling the plays and the fat guys in front of him let a guy come through the A-gap unencumbered and off the left tackle unencumbered.
Time out. If the defense could get one stop in the fourth quarter, they're playing this week.
They don't write it up that way because real teams don't have that happen in situations like that.
Who cares how it looks? He's one of one. It works. It's that anybody else gets sacked and nothing happens. The offensive line stinks. He made it happen. Broken plays. How about the defense is garbage?
How about Aaron Rodgers had 81 attempts against them over two games without an interception and with just two sacks? How about that? And getting touched six times on 85 dropbacks.
I remember we heard that a billion times leading into the season. Turnovers. Yeah, we're going to force more turnovers.
No, we didn't. It's a T-shirt. Keith and Crofton. Keith, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. First of all, how is 105.7's health coverage in the event of Jason having a heart attack?
Jason gets oxygen.
I don't think it's great, but we've got it. And in this day and age, all seriousness, I thank God we got it. And don't even get me started. You really want me to have an aneurysm? Let's start talking about healthcare in this country and why we don't have socialized healthcare in this country.
We're talking football.
Now that you bring it up, I can get way madder about that than this. But I digress. Bob Haney.
I see I've opened a Pandora's box, so I'll divert. I'll divert. So were you guys aware that it was the same officiating crew that did the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game in Baltimore?
My buddy over at NFL Ref Stats tweeted something about that, so I did see his tweet about it.
So, once again, a lot of very questionable calls on the Ravens, and apparently on the missed field goal at the end of the game.
Yeah, there was leverage. Missed leverage call. I saw Lamar quote-tweeted.
I don't want to look for excuses, but I'm just curious. That does just feel a little bit oogie to me.
I hear you. Appreciate the call.
I can't blame the... Look, was the Zay Flowers
that was
crack?
A horrible call.
That was horrific on the first play where Derrick Henry went nuts.
Look,
there was a play where...
Nothing will ever top the Isaiah Likely three. No, now he's got three legs. Now we're going to tripod rule. Yeah. I'm 52 years old, never heard the tripod. Yeah.
But there was a play where Steelers got called for roughing the passer.
Yeah,
where Voorhees tripped the guy.
That should have been 15 yards on Voorhees.
I can't complain about... Dude... You have to find a way to beat the Steelers once. This is not a good Steelers team.
Yeah.
It's not. Their team MVP, as voted on by the media, is Kenneth freaking Gainwell. Yeah. And Kenneth Gainwell,
who we knew would be a funnel, and your $20 million linebacker could never get in the way of it.
Like, Like, no. And I'm saying,
and guess what? If they had thrown it to Gainwell instead of handing off the Gainwell at the end of the half, that would have been a touchdown too.
I say that with all due respect that Gainwell is probably one of the better value signings of the offseason.
He's a wannabe all-star is what Kenneth Gainwell
is. He's making bet minimum. But I think that's very telling that Kenneth Gainwell is their team MVP. It's
what do you think's going to happen this week when he tries to throw it 12 times to Kenneth Gainwell? You think at least one of them's going to be picked off and taken to the house? The ball's only going two places.
By the way, and the Houston Texans have two monsters.
They've got a real defense. These dudes aren't even on two deep on the Texas on the Houston Texans defense.
Yeah. Let's grab Nick in Bel Air. Nick, you're on the Fan.
You guys have really wrapped it up well. I'll just tell you, as a Ravens fan, this happens decades and decades where you have an organization up Pittsburgh that keeps playing football an extra week or so, and it's just demoralizing what this Harbaugh era is doing. You know, players come here because they say he's a great player's coach. It's just the intensity and the atmosphere of this place now. Like Jason said, 100%. The complacency is just boiling over. And Raven fans who kind of follow the X's and O's a little bit, they can see it. I gleaned from Tomlin at the halftime prepper they gave him before he went in. He said, you know, they said, you know, Derrick Henry's got over 100 yards and the Ravens are doing this and that. And, you know, Tomlin's saying, look, I don't care about names. It's about, you know, tackling and stopping people on third down. And he saw the trend happening. And listen, I'll end my call here. The beat writers at this in this town are sickening. You got Lamar up there who just made a great performance in the fourth quarter. You know, talk some X's and O's with them. You know, if you want to be critical.
I don't mind them asking.
And Lamar does not talk about
right. He's not going to be a clean
so
it out.
We have no idea
and
when
his,
he's talking.
Look, and you want to know why they're asking that question? Because unlike the Buffalo Bills, these guys let it play out a year longer than they had to. And we brought experts in the field on last summer to tell you, if they do this, this is what they're setting up with Lamar. And for the season to be this horrible, and the last chance you have a chance, the time to get Lamar on the record, and frankly, I think the fact that he wouldn't even throw Harbs a verbal bouquet was pretty telling. And nobody in that locker room, I mean, I was up all night,
Ronnie Stanley,
Twitter, looking at every beat person, everything that's put out there. Nobody that I could find.
No.
Through him, even a, hey, it's the only coach I've known. Hey, this is on players, not coach. There was none of that.
No.
So I got no issues with them bringing it up. I wish they would have asked about the GM. What'd you think of that offensive line they built for you? What's Jair up to these days,
Lamar? Knowing Lamar, he's going to say, I love my guys. He'll tell you he loves his guys.
I guarantee you. Lamar Jackson, with some truth serum, would be like, well, let's just go look at who's on the field again last night. We're talking about Dez Walker. We're talking about D-Hop, who's done nothing all year, who's pretty much cooked, not making a play. Of course, we're talking about Bateman not being available. Shocker! Yeah. They had a chance to move and sell high on Bateman. No, let's get over on him one more time and double down. And, hey, Steve, look at this. We got even a more team friend. Was he a better player? Think he's going to be a better player this year? You think that was a one-year wonder that maybe we should sell on? Or you think bringing him back into this locker room again on another team-friendly deal is in his best interest? Like, how do you think that's going to play out in January? You think Van Noy's going to be better this January than he was last January? Do you think what happened with Marlon last year, if you really went back and watched the film, was like, how many of those interceptions was just mooks like Russell Wilson handing it to him? Like, he's going to be a year older. Are we building a team where he's in the slot all the time? If he's not, then how good of a boundary corner is Nate Wiggins going to be? Oh, he's going to be the most thrown-on corner in the NFL. Like, and again, or bad hire, set in real time.
Yeah.
But who is he working with?
I did enjoy seeing Wiggins get hurt because Marlon couldn't make a tackle last night. Like, and that was a theme of the night, that Marlon couldn't make a tackle. Alas, you want to talk about what's going to happen next?
Sure.
So the season is over. What's next? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.